Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for the high point of my week, and I hope for yours as well. It is our weekly visit with the marvelous, highly regarded, highly accomplished, and widely revered Andy McCarthy. Andy is, of course, the former federal prosecutor who has now turned his talents towards helping the rest of us understand what's going on, both in the sort of nexus between the law and national security, and more broadly on matters of great importance to our constitutional republic. Andy, it is always a privilege to have you with us. Welcome back.
Frank, so thank you so much for the kind words, and always great to be here.
Well, let us start with the piece that you've posted just today at National Review Online about this latest set of developments concerning Hillary Clinton and her emails. Maybe before we get to your question about what's the status of the server, we could talk a little bit about what has a federal judge done, Emmett Sullivan, to try to obtain the kind of transparency in this matter that President Obama had long promised for his administration?
Well, the Hillary Clinton situation has caused the administration now headaches on a couple of fronts in connection with FOIA, or Freedom of Information Act litigation, that's in front of Judge Sullivan, thanks to the unbelievably both stellar and dogged work of Judicial Watch, which has been trying to deliver on the promise that Obama made, but of course had no intention of keeping, and that was to make this administration transparent. Judicial Watch has been pushing for disclosure on the Hillary Clinton emails. And it's important, Frank, to note for our listeners that Mrs. Clinton, as Secretary of State and as somebody with a lot of experience in the government, knew full well when she set up this private email server system, she was not only illegally conducting government business on a private, unsecure facility, she was also doing it very much with the intention of flouting or undermining Freedom of Information Act requirements. The reason that these government records are supposed to be kept in a government facility, in part, is so that the public can access them and get disclosure of what its government is up to. And what Mrs. Clinton did was obviously intended to get around that.
But as you point out, one of the other reasons that that arrangement exists, especially for somebody in her position, Andy McCarthy, is to protect this classified information that flows back and forth among cabinet officials like her all the time. And you were one of the first to express the view that she assuredly had classified information that was unlawfully and inadequately stored on this private server, almost certainly exploited by enemies of this country. Where does that stand?
Well, I think, Frank, that here's the game. I mean, you always have to parse things when the Clintons say them. Mrs. Clinton, I think, came out of the box saying that she didn't transfer any classified documents. But the Clintons, you always have to listen carefully to the language. She said, we didn't transfer any classified documents on her server system. And as I pointed out at the time, classified information in the government is kept on a separate electronic system. So she was probably right about that. It would be almost impossible for, unless you were someone like Edward Snowden, who had a plan and downloaded it in the way that he did, it would not be likely that Mrs. Clinton would transfer actual classified documents over her server system. But as I pointed out at the time, it's not just classified documents. It's the information that's in the documents, which is classified itself and which government officials are not supposed to transmit or discuss in an unsecure environment. And that was why I said that given her responsibilities, it was a ripe dead certainty that she had transmitted classified information. That probably 70 or 80% of her job dealt with classified information.
And certainly sensitive information for the rest of it, the whole thing.
Yes. So just to show how the game works here, because it's important to keep your eye on the ball, you know, what they then said, now that the inevitable has become obvious, which is that even the State Department now concedes that some of the emails that she has chosen to disclose to us had classified information in them. What she's now saying is that, well, those emails were not classified at the time that they were sent. And, of course, that's a bunch of nonsense, too, because she knew full well that the information she was communicating was classified information. Just because somebody in the government hadn't gotten the rubber stamp out and marked the email that they didn't know about because it was on the fly the system classified, doesn't mean that the information wasn't classified.
And of course, part of the question of who was sending stuff to her revolves around two of the other people covered by Judge Sullivan's order. Cheryl Mills, the former chief of staff to Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, and Huma Abedin, a woman you know a great deal about, Andy McCarthy, who is her deputy chief of staff during part of her tenure. These are people who have quite an interesting background, to say the least. And one of the questions that came up in a conversation I had with Chris Farrell of the organization you've properly lauded, as have I, Judicial Watch, yesterday was the referral by the inspectors general of the intelligence community and the State Department to the Justice Department about this whole arrangement and the sort of character of the information management, shall we say, really rises to a criminal referral. They've decided to call it, I gather, a counterintelligence referral, but Chris says that's a distinction without a difference. Is that your view?
Yeah, I'm sure what they're doing is they're trying to use a euphemism to cover the actual transmission from the Inspector General to the Justice Department. But, you know, the Inspector General doesn't send something to the Justice Department in order to have a seminar on it. They send it to the Justice Department because there's a potential that federal laws have been broken. And as I point out in the column I have on National Review today that you were kind enough to mention, I just laid out four provisions of the Espionage Act, which lay out, which define felonies that are pretty obviously potentially applicable to this situation involving mishandling classified information.
One of them that seems perhaps a lead pipe cinch for a crack federal prosecutor like yourself, Andy, is at least obstruction of justice, which speaks to the point of your essay today, which is, where's the server? And if it's not already in government hands, why the hell not? What's your sense of that?
Yeah, I don't have any information that the server is in government hands. But other than the fact that she is who she is, I think it's astonishing that the government has not taken steps to acquire it if it hasn't already. And let's take it as simple as we can, Frank. Let's put aside Mrs. Clinton's preposterous explanation that when she sent these emails, they weren't classified and they only later became classified. Let's just assume that's true and it's valid. The fact is that we all know they're now classified, and she only turned over paper copies of the emails that were on her server. So whether they were classified at the time or not that she sent them, they're classified now, and she still has the server that they're on. So, you know, she's holding classified information on that server.
In an unlawful arrangement that could have criminal implications as well. Andy McCarthy, for your clarity on all of these issues, of course, we are deeply grateful, as we are for your several extraordinary books, including most recently Faithless Execution, Building the Political Case for Obama's Impeachment. Keep up the great work at National Review and PJ Media, Andy, and of course, in our visits here as well each week, we look forward to talking with you and to talking with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.